Would you turn with me this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 11, beginning at verse 26. 2 Samuel 11, verse 26. I would ask that you would stand in reverence to God and to His precious word this morning. This is a familiar portion of Scripture. It is the parable of Nathan as he speaks to King David after he has committed adultery with Bathsheba. Starting at chapter 11, verse 26, when Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men of a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him." David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. He must pay for that lamb four times over, because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah, and if all this had been too little, I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword will never depart from your house, because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. This is what the Lord says: out of your own household I am going to bring calamity upon you. Before your very eyes I will take your wives and give them to the one who is close to you, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. You did it in secret, but I will do this thing in broad daylight before all Israel." Then David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die. But because by doing this you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt, the son born to you will die." You may be seated. David is a man after God's own heart, and sometimes we wonder how he attained that. But there are 62 chapters in the Old Testament that speak of David, and there are 59 references to David in the New Testament. Why so much about one man? Because we have so much to learn from him. David was a man of passion and destiny. As a man of war, the nation of Israel went from 6,000 square miles to 60,000 square miles under his 40 years as king of Israel. That's a quite a extension of his kingdom, isn't it? He set up extensive trade routes that reached throughout the known world. And from that, wealth came into Israel like the nation had never known. David unified the nation under Jehovah God, creating a national interest in spiritual things. He opened up the role of priesthood so that Judaism could operate openly and freely in the land. He destroyed the idol altars. David was now about 50 years old, or maybe a little bit older. He had been on the throne approximately 20 years at the time Nathan visited him. He had distinguished himself as a man of God, as a composer of psalms, as a faithful shepherd, as a valiant warrior on the battlefield, and as a leader of his people. He not only led the people in righteousness, he gave them the glorious music of the psalms, but he is one who fell into a period of sin, and that sin had devastating consequences on his family, his reign, and his nation. Three things that kings were not supposed to do. They're found in Deuteronomy 17, verses 14 through 17. He shall not multiply horses for himself, nor shall he cause his people to return to Egypt to multiply horses. Since the Lord has said to you, you shall never again return that way or go back to Egypt. Neither shall he multiply wives for himself, lest his heart turn away. Nor shall he greatly increase in silver and gold for himself. David did pretty good on the first one regarding horses. He didn't do too bad on the last one regarding the silver and the gold that he stored, even though he became wealthy and they were living in the golden years of Israel. But the second one he didn't do so well at. He had numerous wives and concubines, which became his downfall. 1 year later, the Lord sent Nathan to David and spoke a parable regarding sheep. Now, I want to tell you, if you want to find out how to confront somebody in their sin, take a good look at Nathan. He's got all the right ways of doing it. God sent him. The timing was right. He said it with the right words, in the words of a parable that would touch the heart of David, showing that he loved him, and he confronted him in love. He was in a dangerous place to confront the king of his sin. Tell me, he could have lost his life in that. But God had sent him, and he was obedient to the Lord. And we too have to be obedient. Well, in verse 6, I want to kind of zero in on verse 6 of this text, where David himself actually writes his own statement. First of all, surely, as the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. And second, he must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Back in Exodus 22, verse 1, it talks about the law and what would happen if you stole somebody's sheep. It says you would have to restore that sheep with four other sheep. So what David was saying was absolutely correct in the law of the Word of God. He knew that the person that did that would have to restore four sheep. And we're going to look at those four sheep this morning. First sheep, the son born to David and Bathsheba. That's the first sheep. Turn with me to verse chapter 12, verse 15 through 25. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became ill. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and went into his house and spent the nights lying on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to get him up from the ground, but he refused and he would not eat any food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. David's servants were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought, while the child was still living, we spoke to David, but he would not listen to us. How can we tell him the child is dead? He may do something desperate. David noticed that his servants were whispering among themselves, and he realized the child was dead. Is the child dead? He said. Yes, they replied, he is dead. And David got up from the ground. After he had washed, put on lotion, changed his clothes, he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Well, that tells you a little bit about the heart of David. You know, his son couldn't come back to him, but you know, one day he could go to his son, right? Isn't that our hope too when we lose a loved one? We can't always bring them back. Someday, by the grace of God, when we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we can go to see that one, providing they're in heaven. Amen? David worshiped God. So the Lord took away sheep number one. Sheep number two, Amnon. And Amnon is killed by his brother Absalom. But I think there's some things we need to remember regarding Amnon. Remember, he deceived Tamar, his half-sister. And he told the servant, he said, I'm going to be sick in bed here, and could you have Tamar come and serve me while I'm sick? And we know the story, how Tamar came in and served him, and Amnon raped her and drug her into bed and violated her. And Tamar went back to her full brother, Absalom, for protection, for someone who would care for her. But the scripture says that Absalom hated Amnon. And it also says that Amnon hated Tamar more than he loved her. Amazing what sin does. The sad part of all this is that David knew about these things. He didn't go to the comfort of his daughter, and he didn't speak to either Amnon or Absalom. And then the story was that Absalom was out shearing sheep, and he went to the king. Very few times we see that he went to the king. But he went to the king and asked if all the king's sons could come out and shear these sheep together. David said no, but Absalom kept hounding him until he said yes. But he himself didn't go. And during that time, Absalom plotted to kill Amnon. And he did. We find this second sheep over in 2 Samuel. Wait, 2 Samuel 13, 23 through 33. Look with me for just a minute at a couple of verses. Verse 28 and following. Absalom ordered his men, listen, when Amnon is in high spirits from drinking wine, I say to you, strike Amnon down, then kill him. Don't be afraid. Have not I given you this order? Be strong and brave. So Absalom's men did to Amnon what Absalom had ordered. Then all the king's sons got up and mounted their mules and they fled. They were concerned about their own lives. If Absalom was going to take Amnon, wow, they might be next, right? And they fled. And then go down to the second part of 37. I think, first of all, we have to be reminded that a messenger came back and said to David that all of the king's sons were dead. And Jonadab came back to David and said, no, only one son is dead, Amnon. And verse 37 it says, but King David mourned for his son every day. And down in verse 39, Absalom had fled, and the spirit of the king longed to go to Absalom, where he was consoled concerning Amnon's death. Talk about heartache. And I just want to reiterate, just if you go back to our original text today, Nathan told him, the word of the Lord, the sword will not depart from your house, neither will evil, because the thing you did with Bathsheba was displeasing to the Lord. God's word is true, isn't it? Everything he said here is true. And that brings us to the third sheep, Absalom. Absalom's conspiracy is found in the 15th chapter, how he kind of set himself up as you entered Jerusalem and he met everybody and he was this guy that would meet people well. And he won the hearts of the people. He says, if only there were a judge in Israel who could help you with your matters. He wanted to be that person. But in the midst of it, he wanted to deceive the people and take the throne away from David. What a conspiracy. But Absalom had come to Jerusalem for just about 2 years. He wanted to see the face of the king, but he never saw his father for 2 years. David, this mighty warrior, who was so competent in battle and in running the affairs of the government, could not take care of his own household. Isn't that sad? Maybe that's true for us today. Maybe we're doing really well in business. Maybe we're pouring a lot of time into that and effort in building our own kingdoms at the neglect of our family. And there's nothing more tragic. I just want to remind you this morning that the only things we can take with us when we leave this world is our children if they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The rest of it we'll leave behind. What good is it if you reach the top of the ladder and you have the prestige and the title and all that, only to find out that your ladder's leaning against the wrong wall? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. David failed immensely, failed to communicate with his children. And I put another name here in PowerPoint. The name is Ahithophel. Ahithophel was the first counselor to David. Scripture says that when Ahithophel spoke, he spoke the very words of God. He was a godly counsel to King David, the first one David would go to for advice. But I want to tell you something. Ahithophel, his great granddaughter, was named Bathsheba. How do you think that affected their relationship after that? You see, sin has far-reaching consequences. The first counsel to David now became first counsel to Absalom. He changed sides, didn't he? I think he was hurt so bad in the sin of David that he could no longer stay with David. My. His best friend, his first counsel, is at odds. Turn over to chapter 16, verses 20 through 23. I just want to share a little bit about Ahithophel. Absalom said to Ahithophel, "Give us your advice." See, now he's on Absalom's side. "What should we do?" Ahithophel answered, "Lie with your father's concubines, whom he left to take care of the palace. Then all Israel will hear that you have made yourself a stench in your father's nostrils, and the hands of everyone with you will be strengthened." So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the roof, and he lay with his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. What happened to King David now? He had fled the city because Absalom had pulled together a small army and was going to overthrow the throne of his father. Ahithophel was saying no more than what the Lord had said, right? This is what's going to happen. What you did in secret, David, is going to be done openly by the one closest to you, your son. And that's what he did. Sad, isn't it? And David fled for his life, and he took most of his family, except the scripture says 10 concubines that were left behind to maintain the palace while he was gone, and it was those concubines that Absalom violated. You see, sin, this evil that was in his household, kept going. What a sad account. And then there was a war between King David's men and Absalom's men. I don't know about you, but wouldn't you hate to fight against your own son or your own father? Well, the scripture says that the fight was going on and Absalom was riding his horse and he got his head stuck in a tree and he died. And it says in that battle that the forest took more lives than the actual battle itself. But look at how many people had to die because of the sin of David. Sad. It's really sad. And verse 9 of chapter 18 tells a story. "Now Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak. Absalom's head got caught in the tree. He was left hanging in midair while the mule he was riding kept on going. When one of the men saw this, he told Joab, 'I just saw Absalom hanging in the oak tree.'" Didn't do anything about it. I want to tell you, this caused some tremendous grief for David. Tremendous grief. I can't imagine. It's always a devastating thing when one of our children die before we do. I've talked to lots and lots of people where they said this was the hardest thing they've ever been through. I can't imagine the sorrow and the heartache that David had over all this tragedy. But God is faithful to his words, and sin always has consequences. That brings us to the fourth sheep. This one was by far the hardest to find, okay? But his name is Adonijah. And in 1 Kings chapter 2, turn with me to 1 Kings 2, 13 through 25. He wanted to also take the throne of his father David. But he went about it in a different way. He went to Bathsheba and asked if he could have Abishag, the Shunammite girl, who was The one that was asked to lay with David to keep him warm in his old age. They had no relationship, but she was a beautiful young gal. And Bathsheba thought it would be fine if he took this young gal. But then she went to Solomon. And Solomon was asked a question by Bathsheba on behalf of Adonijah. Can I have Abishag? Would you give me Abishag? And Solomon became just violently angry at this. You might as well give him the kingdom then as you give her Abishag. That's what he said. And this is what happened. Verse 23. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if Adonijah does not pay with his life for this request. And now, as surely as the Lord lives, he who has established me securely on the throne of my father and has founded a dynasty for me, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today. So King Solomon gave orders to Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, and he struck down Adonijah, and he died. In the midst of this conflict between Adonijah, Bathsheba had gone to King David. He says, are you going to make my son Solomon king? So before his conspiracy, David had made Solomon king. And it says that Adonijah, when he heard that noise, he went into the temple and he hung on to the horns of the altar. Now that's a study in itself. But he was asking for mercy for his life, pleading with God at the altar. God didn't answer his prayer, did he? He died. Four sons, four sheep, four sons. For one sheep named Uriah. Is God faithful to his word? Yeah. And yet at the same time, our God is merciful and loving because he could have taken the life of David for what he did. And Nathan said to him, you are forgiven. But here's the consequences. Sin always has consequences. And that brings us to some application. What does all this mean to us today and in our lives? Sin always has consequences. Number one, whatever we sow, we'll reap. Right? Principle of sowing and reaping. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that will he also reap. Confession and forgiveness will not stop the harvest, okay? You're going to reap what you sow. Even when you confess and ask forgiveness. And I ask, Lord Jesus, maybe there's somebody here that doesn't even know you today. I pray that that one would call on the name of Jesus today and confess her sin and acknowledge you as their Savior and invite the Lord Jesus into their heart or life today. Father, there might be some here today that have failed horribly. Maybe we've been accumulating things and neglected our family. I ask that you would minister to that one today and assure them that there is forgiveness. Lord, today, thank you for being so kind and merciful, loving and gracious. Lord, none of us are above falling, but may we keep our eyes on you and walk in obedience to you and to your word. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.